Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
It's been a while since I've connected with my old buddy, the King of Old School, Steve Corino, former co-host of Between the Ropes, and we were on the radio, and thankfully, he is back here on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been way too long. You know, it's funny. We got started off the air, you know, 15 minutes before we even got going.
Yeah, I know, right? That's the way it always goes, though. You start talking, you're like, wait a second, we got to save this for the podcast.
Right. Story of our life.
Well, let's get this out of the way here really quick then, okay? Because I know we're going to talk plenty of wrestling, but we need to mention this first. You are involved in a brand new podcast that I know you're psyched about, the Phillies Nation podcast, where you get to talk all about your Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this couldn't have happened at a better time. And if you know me, you know that I love the Phillies. I love baseball, but I love the Phillies. And the opportunity came up. You know, I get offers to do podcasts all the time. I was doing one for MLW Radio. And I just really didn't have the time to do it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the podcast for the Phillies Nation came up, and I thought, you know what, I got to do this. I have to do this. And we started last week. Well, starting this week, it's on iTunes. It's 32 minutes worth of Phillies talk, and we're gonna have it all season. And we're gonna talk not just Phillies, but we're gonna talk all Major League Baseball. And you know, with the ultimate goal for Steve Corino, because, you know, there's always an angle here, is that I'm hoping to get a press pass.
That would be nice.
Oh, right. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, let me ask you this, though. So when the Phillies are mathematically out of the race in May, are you still going to be okay with doing that podcast?
And by May, do you mean February? You know, we're already out. You know, unless the other teams in the NL East are all involved in this major plane crash. I can't see us doing more than 70 and 92. But for me, 70 and 92 is a positive, as opposed to Vegas having 64 and a half wins is the pick this year. So I'm actually going with the over, but I'm not by much. 70 and 92, it's a total rebuild this year and next year. Again, you gotta listen to Phillies Nation on iTunes, but I go into it. I am very okay with this rebuild, and I think it's going to be real positive. I think we're going to be way better than people are going to give us credit for way sooner.
Well, as a Cubs fan, I know all about those seasons where you know you're going to stink and you're just hoping that your farm system is good and you start developing guys, and you know it's like, okay, sooner or later, there's going to be that time, hopefully. And you just keep your fingers crossed that not only happens, but maybe it happens a little sooner than you think. And that's what happened with the Cubs last year. But now, you know, if you really want to be a Cubs fan and you really want to jinx things, it's like the expectations are now through the roof for the upcoming season. That it scares some people. I'm okay with it because I've been a longtime Cubs fan. I'd rather have that than the opposite. But it's going to be an interesting baseball season.
Oh, absolutely. And being a Cubs fan right now is going to be so pressure. It's so much pressure because, once again, you said, you know, you're so used to getting close, not getting there. It's been, you know, since, 1908, since we won a World Series. Joe Maddon has these guys pumped up, and Theo Epstein did such a phenomenal job of putting this team together that, you know, I think people are going to be disappointed if they don't win the World Series. I don't think it has anything to do with will they win the World Series. I think they have to win the World Series this year for it to be a successful year. So, man, I grew up a Cubs and Phillies fan, you know, a huge Sandberg fan. So to watch the development of the Chicago Cubs in, you know, modern days is just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know the expectations are through the roof. Like I said, I'd rather have that than the opposite. If they don't win at all, I'll be disappointed. But at the same time, there's so many factors that can happen during a season. The one thing that I do like is the team is so young that I don't think they understand necessarily what pressure is yet. And they definitely don't understand the whole you know, ethos of the Cubs history of 1908, 1945, and the Billy Goat, the Black Cat, and all the different things that go into Cubs history that get so many people so fearful about whether or not they can actually win a World Series. And they've got a ton of talent. So you just kind of hope for the best.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just such a fun time for baseball. So I'm super excited for them. You know, one of these days I'll make it to Arizona to watch them at spring training, but
yeah,
man, I am, I'm really looking forward to what they're going to do.
Hey man, Ryan Sandberg's back in the fold with the Cubs too. He's your guy. He's my guy too.
I see, you know, I for Christmas, I got finally I got an autographed hat and an autographed picture from him. So, you know, you send a guy birthday card for 31 straight years, you're eventually going to strike gold.
Now, was that through the organization or through him?
No, you know what? It was through a buddy of mine whose wife works for the Phillies, and I guess she just got so tired of hearing my issues with it. So, yeah, it worked out great, man. It's cool. The hat's in my room. The picture's up in my garage. It's good time.
Do you have to keep that away from your youngest son, especially the ball, that you fear that one day he's just tossed the ball around and you don't realize it's your Ryan Sandberg autographed ball?
Oh, my God, yeah, right? And, you know, and I love my son. I do. But, like, there's times when I'm like, buddy, you have to not touch any of this stuff. So it worked out pretty good. But, yeah, man, he loves baseball. He'll be with me this March when I go down to spring training again. And yeah, we're just gonna have a blast. You know, it's what we do. So, you know, hopefully I have one son that's a pro wrestler, and then hopefully one son that's a Major League Baseball player.
That'd be nice. That'd be really
nice. It can't
get
much better from that.
Yeah. So you're 3 months removed from neck surgery now, where you had fusion surgery. So how are you doing these days?
I'm doing well. I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, it's been 3 months, but it's been a good 3 months. So I'm excited to see, you know, the progress. I go back to the surgeon next week. It's, you know, and I'm supposed to go back today. And then all the, you know, they were like, well, you know, we gotta reschedule you. I'm like, no, you can't reschedule me. And, but it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm excited because I'm going to be able to, you know, work out harder. Right now I'm still on a 15 to 20 pound limit with my shoulders and stuff. So being, you know, you feel almost handicapped because you're, you know, you can't do things that you want to do. And, but, you know, the rainbow is there, and, you know, I'm looking for that pot of gold afterwards.
You know, having surgery is scary for anybody, but to have this kind of surgery especially has to be a little bit troublesome, I would think. So how worried were you when you found out that you needed to have surgery and you need to have one, you know, as extensive as this?
It was a shocker. You know, I shouldn't have been shocked because, you know, I'm in my 22nd year of pro wrestling. But for the most part, you know, I just thought, like, it was in my mind. I thought, oh, you know, it'll go away, you know, but like my hand was numb and, you know, I was just getting worse and worse and worse. And I thought, man, something's got to give. And eventually it does. And so, you know, I went to the surgeon. I was just looking for, it was in my mind. And then all of a sudden he's like, man, you are in big trouble. And he explained to me about how this surgery's got to go. And, you know, I just sat there baffled because he said, your career is over. There's no saving you right now. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, and this is literally 4 days after, you know, we had shot the TV for, you know, me hitting BJ Whitmer with the quarters, knowing that I was going to be suspended. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm being told that, yeah, you're in trouble. You're not wrestling anymore. And yeah, so it was scary, but, you know, I got through it. I've been really rehabbing the right way, not doing too much too soon. But in the meantime, I also haven't been, you know, sitting around either. I thought this is a way I can, you know, really rehab and get into the shape that I want to get into. Because if, when you get older, it's harder. And, you know, I just, yeah, have a hard time. And I, you know, I've been having a hard time. And I figured, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. So, you know, here it is 3 months later, and I feel better than I've ever felt.
So what was the response within Ring of Honor when you told them, hey, we just shot this angle, and now a doctor is telling me that I have to have major surgery and my wrestling career is over?
Oh, yeah, it was insane because, you know, here I am saying all this stuff, and, you know, Hunter was just baffled. You know, we build up to this thing for so long, and now you're telling me you can't do it. And that's the problem sometimes with injuries. You just never know. You just absolutely never know when it's going to happen. And, you know, that was it. You know, you can't do it. And then they were very sympathetic to it. They understood, but we had backed ourselves in a corner. I was suspended, you know, Steve Corino was suspended as a color commentator. And now with the idea that, you know, I could wrestle at Final Battle, I would only be off commentary for 2 or 3 TVs, yada, 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 and we're home. Well, now we're not home. You know, so it's just one of those things that you just got to take what you're given and run with it and have confidence in your abilities. And, you know, luckily it's been okay so far.
So as you progress when it comes to the rehab, do you still feel that way, that your in-ring career is over, or do you plan on getting back in the ring?
You know what? I was so scared that was the idea, you know, because that's what he had told me. And then, you know, I went for that first 6-week checkup, and he's like, hey, you can get back in the ring around May if you want. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, the plate, the new way that they do it, and Jerry Lynn's got the same one, is that, you know, they put the titanium plate in the front part of your neck as opposed to the back part. And he said, yeah, just give it until about May and you should be good to go. And I'm like, wait a second, you were just telling me, you know, a little bit ago that I was done. He's like, no, you're doing great. So, you know, eventually I'll be back. I can't say when and or how or any of those fun things, but the reality is that, you know, I'll be back, and I just, we'll see how I can do. And, you know, I'm in the ring at my academy every week, and but you know, I haven't bumped, I haven't done anything that strenuous to where, you know, you would think, oh wow, this guy's got to you know, this guy's going to hurt himself even more. I'm really taking the precautions the way that I should. And, you know, I'm never going to come back to a full-time wrestling schedule, because it would just be irresponsible of me at this point. You know, I've been given this awesome second chance, and you know, I'm going to take it, run with it. But, you know, a limited in-ring wrestling every once in a while. Who knows? You might come to a ROH house show, and, you know, Steve Corino might be teaming with War Machine or some fun stuff like that. So you just never know. And, you know, I got that match. I got to do this match with BJ. You can only build up for something with something for so long before you have to say, hey, you know what? It's time to poop or get off the pot.
Well, that's the thing, though. You know, you talk about, you get this news from the doctor about your career is over, and you get over, you have the kind of the ticket check that goes with that. And then you find out, okay, now you can get back in the ring. You just got to wait to heal up, you know, at the proper time. So, I mean, what does that do to you emotionally? Kind of, because that's a roller coaster of, you know, you're a guy that takes so much pride in this is what you've done for so long, and you think it's over, and you're probably trying to wrap your mind around that, like, what am I going to do if I can't wrestle anymore, when it came out of nowhere. And then now he's telling you a short while later, oh yeah, just wait like 6 months, rehab, and you should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shocker. And, you know, I have a young son. I, you know, I have a great life outside of pro wrestling and stuff like that. So, you know, I really definitely want to take it nice and easy. I don't want to jump right into it and then, you know, get hurt again. It's just going to be one of those things that you ease into. But I'm, for the mind, it was great, because I you never want to be told you're done. You know, you always want to go out on your own. So being told that I could do it again really made me feel like, wow, you know, this is great. So, now it's up to me. It's my game now. So we'll see what happens. I just, you know, I'm excited for the future. I'm excited to see how things are going to go. And, you know, we'll just definitely go from there.
So after going through this, what was it like then to see somebody that you know and you've been in the ring with, and Daniel Bryan, having to, you know, I think some people kind of saw this coming, but nothing was definitive, in that he finally went and saw another doctor, heard some news that he didn't like, and said, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going to get in the ring anymore. And, you know, it was somewhat sudden. You know, it was something that he was hoping, he was fighting to try to get back in the ring, but now, you know, his in-ring career is over.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very sad because he's so good, so good. And, you know, I feel bad for him. I do, because you know how popular and how much he loved the sport. So it's sad to see him go, but I'm sure they can find a spot for him. You know, health is, you're only here for so long. So, you know, health is so important. I think when we're young, we take it for granted because we believe that we're invincible, but he isn't either, are we? And it's one of those things that, you know, I'm glad that he decided that this was the time, you know, him and his wife, and they decided, like, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, this is the way we're going to handle it. So it's just, sad to see him go as a fan and as a guy that's wrestled him before, but man, as a man, you know, he's going to live a long life and be a, you know, a good father and stuff like that. So I'm more excited for that than I am for him not being able to, you know, perform the way that he used to.
What kind of reaction did you have when you found out the news that he had about concussions and where concussion testing is now? Because you're a guy that I don't know how many concussions you've had, but I'm sure obviously you've had some concussions. And what's your thoughts about that, the whole situation now, especially with new testing that keeps coming out and showing more and more progress, and, you know, what's going on with people that are in physical sports like wrestling?
Oh, to me, it's frightening because, you know, and I'm lucky enough to have a young wife that, you know, physically fit and, you know, went to school for stuff like this. And, you know, whenever she hears something, she worries because, you know, in ECW and all that stuff, you didn't worry. You didn't know, you know, you knew chair shots weren't great, but, you know, you did it for the love and this, and it's what was expected of you. And, but now you watch and you see all these things and you go, oh my goodness gracious. You know, I'm so, you know, lucky that, you know, I have my brain and I can think and do all these things, but who knows what's going to happen in 10 years, 15 years. So it's scary. It's absolutely scary. And I'm just glad that wrestling has evolved to the point where it's not needed anymore. People know, and they know the chair shots aren't good, and they know that these concussions aren't good. And I think they're sympathetic to a guy needing a week off, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off. So, you know, I appreciate that. I really do. So, you know, as a guy that's been through these concussions, a guy like me or a guy like Tommy Dreamer, you know, we appreciate that people are actually looking out for us as opposed to wanting, you know, more blood.
What's the worst concussion you've ever had?
Oh, I had a concussion once that in Japan that I took a beating from Shinya Hashimoto, and to the point where I can't remember, like, I watched it on video and I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't remember going out that night after the show. I couldn't remember, you know, waking up. I remember things, like, everything's just blurry for that whole 4-day tour. And it's scary to think, like, wow, you watch it on video, and I didn't seem to lose a beat, but, you know, for the life of me, it's dark. I can't remember any of it. And, you know, the one thing I do remember is just the haziness. I was so hazy afterwards that, you know, you just didn't, you know, I didn't know at the time. It was 2002, and, you know, you just, you know, working strong style or whatever that was, you know,
right.
And You hope for the best.
Well, I'm curious what the business is going to be like, you know, in 10 or 15 years when we have more evolution of these tests. You know, when it comes to, you know, you hear all these different stories about guys that have suffered concussions, not even just from chair shots, but it's just a rough, you know, you're taking bumps all the time. It's like going through a car wreck every time you take a bump. And, you know, I'm going to be curious to see where the testing goes and then what happens from a company standpoint of saying, you know what, we can't allow this, you know, and also from, you know, a personal standpoint. I mean, a lot of times the athlete's going to want to go out there and test it because it's what they want to do. But I think there could be possibly a lot of changes. I'm not just saying that, oh, you know, there's not going to be any wrestling or anything like that. But I think there's the precautions are going to be out there, you know, at another level, just like I think they will be in the NFL.
You know what? And it's funny you speak about the NFL. I was talking with my oldest son, Colby, about this. I said, you know what? There was one time that there was no wrestlers wore knee pads, you know? But now every wrestler wears knee pads, and they're made to look cool and everything like that. I go, what's going to happen with the first wrestler that wears headgear and then starts to make it look cool? And then in 10 years, everybody's wearing headgear, and they're, you know, it becomes part of their costume and stuff like that. And at first, it's going to be weird. I'm sure Luthez used to crap on the guys that were wearing knee pads. And but what's going to happen in 10 years where everybody's wearing headgear, but it looks cool. There's a huge logo on the side and this. And you know, people are going to buy foam headgear, you know, as merchandise and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, it you know, as knee pads protected our knees, this headgear might protect our heads. And it sounds crazy now, but I'm thinking like, hey, it could be, we could be on to something. Hey, dear Vince McMahon, if you're listening to this podcast, I'd like to trademark that idea and let's make some money.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, we're already seeing that a little bit in baseball. The thing in baseball for pitchers, though, is it, I mean, obviously they're still trying to develop something, but what they have right now, what is it, like one guy in the majors that used it last year, and it just looks super awkward right now.
Oh, it does. It looks goofy. What's wrong, buddy?
Oh. Somebody needs some attention.
Oh. As you can hear, my little guy, not my big guy, my little guy, you grumpy bear, say hi. Say hi. A little wave. But yeah, I mean, it looks goofy right now, but you know, my son who just jumped in my lap is 2 years old. Maybe when he's 15, he's going to look at baseball players that wore regular hats like, look at these guys. Just kind of like how, you know, somebody that's, you know, 20, 25 looks at somebody that wore a helmet without the ear flap on it, you know? So
right.
I believe in everything evolves, and I believe that it needs to evolve and stuff like that. So I'm big on the safety. You know what? For my return match, I may wear the helmet. I am onto an idea with this helmet thing.
You know what? I think you should do too. Not only have the helmet, but either do one of two things. You make one side sticky to where you can change out, you know, signs, logos, whatever you want, you know, if you could somehow work in some LED, you know, and you could change it to where it's like a scroll. I mean,
Fritzy, we're about to make millions.
That's what I'm saying, man. We're going to bank that. I'm going right to LegalZoom after this, man. We're trademarking this.
Put me up for that. I'll take 15%. You know, that's all I need.
So what's going on with you in Ring of Honor?
Well, it all depends who you talk to. You know, I'm
talking to the king of old school here.
Suffering through the longest suspension of all time, but still have to be on the road, and which is good because I've been selling my Worst of Steve Corino 3 DVD set, which is awesome at ROHWrestling.com. Don't forget to buy it. And so I get to do that, and then I sit in the back and I read my Kindle Fire and I enjoy the show. So there was rumors out there that my contract had expired, and you know there was no movement, and I could be leaving and stuff like that, but not true. I love breaking news to you, Brian, because you know of our past with our high rated show.
Sure.
And I wrote the foreword for your book, so people forget.
Yeah, that's true. You did.
But my contract expired in 2013. I had just been flying under the radar for so long that they finally just noticed, like, hey, wait a second, this guy is he's flying under the radar, and you know, he could leave at any time. And you know, then there were discussions, and of course, you know, I believed that I'm worth more than Ring of Honor wanted to pay, and they believed that I was worth way less than I was asking. And it's like that with any form of entertainment, and, you know. But once I had the neck surgery, and I went to work 4 days after my surgery, because that, you know, I was, that's what I do, you know. I didn't get to commentate because I was probably higher than any bad night of any ECW wrestler, but because, you know, because of the medication. But you know, I showed them that this is where I wanted to be, and they wanted me there, and we came up with a great arrangement. And so now I am a contracted wrestler that doesn't have to do anything. It's great. It's almost like WCW without the hundreds of thousands of dollars that go with it.
Mm. See, isn't it always that way though? That, I mean, business is business. You got to take care of contracts, but it's like the second that they think you're gone, then that's when they find out, you know, they really want you.
Right. You know, and all I wanted was to be wanted, you know.
Exactly. That's all we ever, that's all any of us really want.
Yeah. But, you know, I love the company. I love being there. You know, whether it's commentating, wrestling, managing, just hanging out, hey, selling merch with Merch Boy Todd, you know, and I love it. I really, truly believe that I morphed into the Jack Victory role, whether it be as a mentor for the younger guys or a guy that's needed to fill in a spot here or there, you know, whether it was color commentary, whether it was, you know, for the leader of Scum, whether it was being World Tag Team Champion with Jimmy Jacobs. You know, I'm a guy that it's always been able to fit in that spot, and you know, and you know, I'm honored that, you know, even at going to be 43 years old in May, that you know, I'm still collecting a nice paycheck from pro wrestling.
So, because of your contract status, was there ever any opportunities from other companies possibly pursuing you for a similar role?
Oh no, you know, If you think about it, TNA's got their people, Lucha Underground's got their people, and WWE's always trying to get younger. So when I knew when it came time for a commentary that I'm basically where I'm going to be, you know, and that's not a bad thing. I have such a blast with Kevin Kelly, and he's such a great mentor to me, and you know how he's helped me over the last few years as a commentator. It's been amazing. So, I knew, but you know, who knows? You know, I believe that I have something to teach. I could be a trainer somewhere, or you know, I just opened my Carolina Wrestling Academy in December, and you know, who knows what will happen in the future? But for right now, I'm so happy being where I'm at. I'm very content where I'm at, and you know, I love North Carolina. I love, you know, being where I'm here, and you know, I'm good with whatever comes. You know, if you would have asked me while we were sitting in that studio with Jack Victory sleeping on air, would I ever imagine me being where I'm at now? No, come on. You know, it's the fun part of life. You just never know what's going to come next. And, you know, for a guy that was just a nerdy wrestling fan as a kid to do what I've done, man, I live a great life. It's fun.
Jack might still be sleeping in that studio right now.
He is. He's probably sleeping in Jacksonville, Florida, as we speak.
So you mentioned your school. So this is something I think you had been wanting to do for a while, and you were already training some people anyway. So how's everything going with the Carolina Wrestling Academy?
Oh, it's great, and it's a different program than other wrestling schools that I've seen over in the past. We have a curriculum. You know, you start out as a freshman, and then you at 9 weeks you take an exam, and if you pass, you can become a sophomore, you know, and so on and so on. And we have, not only do we have in-ring classes, but we have marketing classes. We have merchandising. We have character development. We have promos. We have, you know, so many different things. We have academy shows that we just started, which is great because it gives my son Colby, who's always had a, you know, a love of booking. You know, he's always wanted to, you know, figure out how to book. you know, he's been putting together these Carolina Wrestling Academy events that we do, and it's basically a dress rehearsal. You know, when you're a sophomore in the curriculum, you get to take part in these, and it's been fun, and it's creating talent. And you know, we have a 30 bump limit every night so that guys aren't hitting their heads. It's all done by motivation. It's not the old school power plant. We're going to scream your head off until you quit and do 500 squats. Man, we want people to find that inner strength and do what they do best. You don't become great overall right away. And I tell these kids on their first night, first week, first month, man, you start school, you don't get an A in algebra the first day. You open the book and you're not all of a sudden, you know, a genius at algebra. It takes time to learn, and I believe it. And you know, my first student of the academy that came to me from another training thing, you know, went into a senior class. Just he's had his first match January 29th and hasn't had weekend off. He's been all over the place, whether it be West Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. I mean, this kid's on fire already. His name's CC Delaney, and you know, my son Colby and Jakob Hammermeyer and Jagger and Bobby Wolford are, you know, they're my coaches. And it's five coaches, five different ways to learn, because I believe that there's 100 different ways to do something right. It's not do as I want or boo to you. It's, hey, you know what? This is how I run the ropes, and this is how Jakob runs the ropes, and this is how Colby runs the ropes. Show me how you run the ropes. And at the end of the day, we all believe in safety and style, and it's a lot of fun, man. If people want to sign up or come hang out or see what we got, go to worldofcarino.com. I got a ton of information up there, and it truly is a real fun program that's just getting better and better.
How much, if any, does what WWE is doing with the Performance Center shape what you try to do, or what you at least try to have available for anybody that goes to the school there?
Well, you know what? I believe that, you know, the WWE and NXT are going to always do what they do, and they're always going to be a step ahead, whether it be because of budget, whether it be because of resources. You know, for me, you know, I'm trying to do something that they can be proud of. It's something that's going to get them ready if they're going to go to NXT or ROH or TNA or Lucha Underground. I want to give them all the tools for their toolbox, and I want them to learn so many different ways, so many different styles, so that, you know, they're prepared for an NXT tryout or an ROH tryout camp or a TNA match. I want them prepared, and that's what I try and teach. And, you know, I've had conversations with guys down at NXT about how they train and stuff like that, and you know, I guess they call it the WWE way. And, you know, I try to instill, you know, those principles in my academy. I try to instill the principles that Delirious teaches at the ROH Academy. I try to instill things that I learned in Japan. And, you know, you mix all these things together, and you come up with a pretty cool program.
And I think one of the great things for you being able to do this is because you've worked in so many different places, and you've always been a student of the game from the standpoint that you were very close and you picked the brains of a lot of different guys, especially guys in the past, you know, and Dusty Rhodes is definitely one of those guys. You know, what are some of the things that, like, you learn from somebody like Dusty or Tully Blanchard or some of the other guys that you try to incorporate in what you do now?
Oh, you know, like, and, you know, you used two different, you know, ends of the spectrum there. You know, you have the ultimate babyface, you have the ultimate heel. You know, I try to take things that I learned from both, whether it be, you know, Dusty teaching me stuff about booking and why he booked a certain way, and Tully, how he would, you know, break down a body part. And, you know, I tell a story, to my students of, you know, I had a bad knee, and, you know, I finally got to wrestle Tully, who's one of my heroes. And, you know, he asked me before, he goes, is that a real injury? And I said, yeah, thanks, man. You know, I'm just thinking that he is, you know, being nice, you know. And but right away, he goes right after the knee, and like for 15 minutes, he gives it a pounding to the point where I was angry. I'm like, man, I told this guy that my knee hurts. Like, what is he thinking? And we get back in the back, and I'm angry. And I said to CW, I said, man, I got to say something. And I turn around, and Tully walks through, and he goes, did you learn your lesson? And I went, oh, yeah, yeah, I did. And he sat me down and he said, look, man, I'm this old and I'm this and I'm that. If I don't go after that knee that you have bandaged up, then I'm not doing my job and wrestling is phony. You know, and I thought, wow, what a genius. And it's just the believability, because we live in a time when wrestling fans know it's magic. It's magic, and we're not afraid to say it's magic now. But we also know other things are magic. We know Christmas season is magic. But for those couple weeks, we want it to be 100% legit. We want everything to go exactly the way that we planned. We want everything to be, you know, what we learned as a kid. And it's the same thing with wrestling. It's the same thing with movies. You know at the end of the day what's going on, but you want to be lost in it. You don't want your intelligence insulted. You don't want someone to say that this ain't real, because you're going out there and you're creating something. You're creating something for these fans that pay their hard-earned money or taking the time out, watch you on TV. And it's become a art form, you know, as opposed to a sport. It's become a true, true art form.
And the great thing, from like I said, from your background, is you got to be around some of those guys. And, you know, unfortunately, Dusty passed away. And he meant so much to so many different people, especially the ones that he was training, you know, at the Performance Center, working with guys at NXT. And we saw the emotion that came out of that. And I sit here and I wonder, I mean, I know that they said they really can't fill that void, and they can't. So it now is just a bunch of different guys that help out with Dusty's role, especially when it comes to promo class. And I can't help but think what the current generation and generations to come are going to be missing out on, because they're not going to have that opportunity to be around somebody like Dusty.
It's true, you know, but I also have so much faith in the trainers that are at NXT, because they were disciples of Dusty. They were disciples of so many great, great, you know, wrestlers that they learned from. The Pierces, the Blooms, the Smileys, you know, the Sarah Del Reyes, they all learned from like the top stars, and they're passing on that knowledge to today's young wrestlers. And I believe that the people that are coming out of the Performance Center have such a love of what we do, not just the wrestling part, but the entertainment part. It used to be, well, that guy's big and he's an entertainer, and then, well, that guy's a wrestler. Now it's a mix, you know, and, you know, Triple H has just done such a fantastic job of creating this brand that is making waves. And you see it when guys are killing it in NXT, and then they are in front of the writers at WWE, and it falls. And then, you know, you have a guy like Kevin Owens who breaks the glass ceiling for what you think a wrestler should look like in WWE, and he's the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And so for me, it is an amazing, amazing time, not only to be a wrestler, but to be a wrestling fan, because, and I say this a lot, but think about it. On a weekly basis, you get to see WWE, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, ROH, Lucha Underground. If you live in an area, you get that with the Paragon Pro Wrestling out of Vegas. You have the internet, which allows you, opens up a door, a Pandora's box of not just, you know, wrestling, independent wrestling. You get international wrestling, New Japan World. You get to see all these crazy things. So, you know, it's an amazing time. You can turn on your computer and watch 30 different things of wrestling. So, you know, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and we look at all these different companies. I mean, it's funny because even just a few years ago, there were so many different questions about what was going to happen with the independents. And now, even though NXT is doing what they're doing, and I know some people say, well, they're hurting independents, or they were afraid of that, but it really hasn't. I think it's helped put an emphasis on independents. And now you look at, you know, Ring of Honor, and I think Ring of Honor is in the best position that they've been in probably in their whole existence.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, their style has evolved. You know, it's definitely a television product. And you look at the independents, and you look at, in 2016, how many companies are drawing well, you know, because people want to be entertained, and that's the bottom line. Is we've caught up. You know, the wrestlers were so, you know, for years, how many times have we, you know, tried to protect the business, and the fans were like, wait a second, we know something's going on here. And we finally decided we'll meet in the middle, and we're going to do what we do, and you're going to do what you do, and there's this synergy here. And they know that if they go to an independent show, they're going to see, you know, I relate it to minor league baseball. You get that intimate atmosphere of stars of today, stars of tomorrow, stars of yesterday, and you get it for a cheaper price. And then if you want to watch the big leagues, you watch the ones that are, you know, the stuff that's on TV. And like I said, there's that synergy of the fans and the wrestlers and the company of all coming together and creating this huge, great entertainment conglomerate. Yeah, I think we're in the era of where sports entertainment is not a bad word. It's the sports and entertainment, you know, industry for some, but it's also one of those things that, like, it's okay. It's definitely okay.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And I think one of the things that's really helped with that is that we've seen so many different guys that have come through a company like Ring of Honor that are now having success with the WWE. And so many people were scared about that, going, they're going to go there, they're going to get ruined. And now we see Seth Rollins, and we see Kevin Owens, and we see AJ Styles, and we might see Samoa Joe. And I mean, he's already in NXT and having success there. But we see these guys that have come through the Ring of Honor system, and they're not just playing a small role in WWE. They're playing a huge role there.
Oh, and that's a great thing, because, you know, and I think that goes with what Triple H was, you know, trying to do, and, you know, trying to expose, you know, the WWE universe to different styles. And I think it works out great. And that's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, there's so many different types of pizza, but at the end of the day, it's pizza, and pizza's great. Same thing with pro wrestling.
You're such a shill, man. You're dropping the WWE universe, even using the terminology, man.
Oh, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. I'm a company guy. I'm a company guy. Yeah.
You are a company guy through and through, even if it's not your company.
Yeah, yeah.
I think,
I said, you know, I've never been like the bitter pro wrestler. You
right.
know, I've always liked what I've done. I've always felt that I've overachieved in everything that I've done. So to me, it's, you know, it's fun. It's so much fun to watch how wrestling has evolved, and, you know, so much fun to actually still be a part of it.
I think one of the great things as a wrestling fan, too, is you mentioned all these different companies, but there's so many different opportunities for places for guys to work. And then you see that, obviously, WWE has been very aggressive in going after different guys, as have other companies as well. But there has been a choice by some guys lately to say, you know what, Ring of Honor is where I want to be. I mean, hopefully there'll be other opportunities for me down the line, but where I want to be right now in a place I feel comfortable and can pay me well is Ring of Honor. And we've seen that, especially lately, where guys say, you know what, I'm going to choose to stay here at least for another year, if not longer.
Absolutely. And you know what, and that goes for, you know, Ring of Honor stepping up and saying, you know what, these guys deserve to have a living wage, and, you know, they're busting their butt, and, you know, it's not just the starting ground for guys that want to become, you know, WWE superstars. Now it's, you know, it's a place to go and really make a name for yourself. Do they go on to the WWE? Maybe. Or do they, you know, stay? Maybe. But either way, it's okay. And, you know, Ring of Honor has that revenue stream that they allow, you know, they allow room for guys to really make a nice living, and it's great to see. It reminds me of when, you know, ECW was doing great things to, you know, guys were starting to make money, and guys were starting to really be able to, you know, afford to live. It wasn't just the weekend warrior thing, and you know, that shows that the industry is good.
I'm just glad that they had enough left over to take care of some of the talent after taking care of you first.
You know, I'm expensive.
I know.
You know, those suits don't cost $20.
No, they cost $50.
They do. Target they've upped their game.
How wrinkled do your suits get in transit?
they do. You know what? Because I always try to wear a suit on the plane because of, you know, if my bag gets lost, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But my wife bought me a steamer, so I always have the one. And then, you know, I usually room with Kevin Kelly. So Kevin Kelly and I get the, you know, morning time, we'll go, we'll eat our breakfast, and then, all right, let's go iron our suits.
What an exciting lifestyle. That sounds like me, you know, on a recent business trip I went in where I landed, went to my room, and I ironed my shirts for the next, you know, hour and a half.
Oh, it's party time.
Yeah, that's what I do, man. You know, I'm the life of the party. I got to get in there and I got to iron, you know? So what's it like now? You know, obviously there's so much excitement with Ring of Honor, but you've got the New Japan guys coming in there on a regular basis. Is it tough to keep up with everybody that comes in and all the different moves and all the new things that you see?
No, because I'll just go, oh, wow, that was cool, you know.
Are you going on Vince McMahon? What a maneuver!
What a maneuver! What the heck was that called?
Unbelievable!
Yeah. Sometimes that's the easiest way to go. But, no, man, you know, I a lot of the New Japan guys that are coming up were guys that I knew when I was over there a lot. So, for me, it's cool to see these guys that are now, they were young boys when I started in Japan, and then now they're stars. They're huge stars in, you know, Tanahashi, Nakamura, Kushida, all these guys that are really just amazing talents. And you know, it's just one of those things where you know, it just makes it so much fun to see guys develop into the superstars that you hope that they would become.
When was the last time that you jumped out of your seat for a move? That you were ringside there? Yeah.
It's been a while. You know what? Being there for Roderick Strong and Jay Lethal last year when they did their 60-minute draw in New York had me on the end of my seat because, one, I don't know. I don't get a format, so I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't expect them to go 60. If you really watch, I kind of blow it. I go, man, what if they go 60 minutes? And at the end, I went, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, you know, when I rewatched it. But it just, that match just blew me away because, you know, I grew up in the days of Ric Flair and Barry Windham at the Philadelphia Civic Center going 60 minutes, going 90 minutes. So, you know, watching those guys do a 60-minute match at such a high level, it was absolutely amazing, and I loved it. And so that was the last time that I think that I jumped out of my seat.
And, I mean, when it comes to Ring of Honor and you see some of the matches, everybody's always trying to top one another. It's easy to do that. I think it's tougher to kind of keep your composure and do your job. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong about getting excited, obviously, but there's so many different things that can happen that sometimes I would think you almost have to show a little bit of restraint.
You know what? I guess, like, if I was doing it to the point, if I was commentating to the point where, like, I had to be professional 100% of the time, I would agree with that. But my theory is this, you know, I wasn't a trained announcer. I didn't go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting or wherever the hell everybody goes.
I wouldn't count that.
Okay. Is that the Phoenix University or University of Phoenix of Broadcasting?
I'd give a lot more credence to the University of Phoenix.
So, you know, I look at my commentary as this. I am a old veteran that still loves wrestling, that loves the product. I love to be involved. And if I come off as a fan, excellent. If I come off as a heel for some people, excellent. If I come off as a babyface for some people, excellent. If I come off as creepy to Adam Cole, excellent. I want everybody to know that, like, this, I'm a guy that you could be sitting in your living room with watching wrestling. And that's the goal that I have. I want me and Kevin to come off as two guys that love wrestling, and we're just going to say what comes to the top of our mind. It's not a script. It's not a format. This is just who we are, and this is what we're going to give you.
So if I am interested in getting the Worst of Steve Corino DVD, and if I go to ROHWrestling.com, am I going to find that in new releases or clearance?
No, you're going to find that in new releases because it's selling well. It's selling well, and it's great. It's three DVDs. It's a great interview. We have a lot of fun. There's a cameo by Adam Cole. Not to spoil it, but...
Oh, Cole. Baby makes an appearance, huh?
And... it's great. It has 15 matches on there, and luckily the guys that I've had the matches with went on to become millionaires. So if you're not a fan of Steve Corino, but you're a fan of Seth Rollins or Daniel Bryan or Kevin Owens or Jimmy Jacobs and stuff like that, then hey, this is the DVD for you. And it's definitely a fun DVD to watch. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll throw up from some of the matches. It's a good time.
Who came up with the name for that DVD? I have a feeling you did.
I didn't actually. Somebody in the office.
What was your reaction when you heard the name of it?
I thought it's perfect. I thought it would be perfect for, you know, what we were trying to accomplish there. It's not the best of, it's the worst of. And, you know, because I've done a lot of bad things in my years in ROH. So... I really like how it comes off, and once you watch it, you'll see why it's called the Worst of Steve Corino.
Biggest regret you have from a wrestling match?
Biggest regret?
Mm-hmm. Of something you've
never got WrestleMania payday.
Well, what's that?
You know what? Like thinking back, I could tell you that I wish I didn't take so many chair shots. I wish Balls Mahoney didn't take years off my life, but. These are all things that made me what I am today. And, you know, I'm lucky to have my health and I'm lucky to have, you know, what I have. So, you know, I don't have any regrets. Everything that I've done has brought me to this beautiful house I have on the coast in North Carolina and two great sons and a beautiful wife. So I got no regrets at all.
Do you miss booking?
Hmm?
Do you miss booking shows?
Wow. No. Well, I got my PWF in North Carolina that I do my booking. So, you know, and to me, you know, booking is fun, especially, you know, when you have your little local company. We run 2-3 shows a month and seeing how the stories unfold and stuff like that. To me, that's good for me. People talk about like, hey, what if you ever got the shot to book ROH? I'm like, man, that's a 24-hour-a-day job. Like, mm-hmm. You know, how am I supposed to fit Scandal in if I'm worried about what, you know, angles going on in ROH? So maybe if I was 30, you know, but...
I'm just glad you got your priorities in order.
Oh, Scandal's amazing, right?
I haven't watched it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you should. You should.
I watch way too much TV already. I fully admit it. Like, I'm super psyched that, like, Walking Dead is back and Better Call Saul is back. And, you know, Vinyl is on HBO, which I watched, and I'm watching The People versus O.J. Simpson now on FX. And, you know, there's plenty of other stuff, I'm sure. So I'm already watching way too much TV.
I see. We gave up cable about a year and a half ago. My wife was on the cut list of her job, and we thought, oh, you know what? We pay way too much money for our cable. Let's go the Netflix, Hulu route and, you know, see how that goes. And then she ended up getting a promotion instead of laid off. And we just never ended up going, going back to cable. And it was awesome. So,
but you have trouble, like if you have to watch shows more than 24 hours after they aired, because sometimes there can be a conversation about that.
You know, when you're married and you have a 2-year-old little monster, our Wednesday night shows like Modern Family and Black-ish and Goldberg, that becomes part of our Thursday night routine. The Thursday night shows, How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal, that becomes our Sunday night routine. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things. And luckily, I have 43,000 followers on Twitter, and apparently nobody watches these shows to spoil them for me. So I'm lucky. I'm not a fan of The Walking Dead, and I would be insanely angry every week when I would see The Walking Dead spoilers, but you know, I'm lucky. All the shows that I like, apparently nobody that likes me likes them.
What is the show that you probably, that you watch, but you probably don't like to admit that you watch or enjoy?
Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
I love it. I have to admit it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I can't wait. Even if the stars are, I don't know. Like, I love it. I get so in tune with it, and I can't wait. And is Derek going to have a great partner again this season? I don't know. You know, is Max coming back? I don't know. Is it just? It's not just the dancing, but it's so pro wrestling, and that's what I think I love about it is. You watch them dance and you watch these people dance. It's like a wrestling match because you know that wrestling becomes a, you know, your wrestling's a dance. So it's a lot of fun. So that's the one. My wife watches The Bachelor and I watched it last week and, I tried not to like it and I asked too many questions. So I'm not allowed to watch it with her anymore. So luckily I got saved from that.
Well, see, typically I'm a big, I'm big against reality shows typically, but for whatever reason, I like Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles and New York, both airing on Bravo.
Wow. Well, I'll have to check them out online.
I'm really upset, though, that TNT canceled Dallas because, you know, they brought back Dallas and it lasted for a couple of seasons. And then they did this big thing where they killed one of the major characters. And I'm thinking, well, they got to bring the show back. And then they canceled the show.
I haven't forgiven them for canceling WCW.
You know, the show you really hold grudges.
That got canceled was Sirens on USA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that had...
That was a fun show.
I didn't watch it, but I kept hearing about that. Did you watch Mr. Robot on USA?
No. Well, once again, like, you know, I got to wait for them to hit Hulu or Netflix. And, season two of Sirens hit Netflix, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then, of course, I get to episode 10 and I Google it and they're like, oh no, it's canceled. I'm like, what? You're kidding me.
So I shouldn't go on at King Carino on Twitter and tell you all about Mr. Robot?
You could. I could check it out.
You should watch it. I mean, I could spoil some stuff from it if you really wanted.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah, I'll check it out and then we can.
You should watch it, man. I know the second season's coming back in a few months, but yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah, we'll tweet about it.
If you can find time, I know you're a very busy guy between the family, the job, and then the Philly Nations podcast, which is sure to blow up.
It better. It really better. Yeah.
And I expect a good job on you. Well, how often are you going to be doing the podcast?
We're going to do it weekly.
Okay. Because, I mean, it's baseball season. I wasn't sure if you're going to try to do it like twice a week or something.
Oh, you know what? Like, that's a heck of a commitment, you know?
Well, they don't have to necessarily be long. Like, if you did a half hour each one?
Yep, that's what we're trying to do, a half hour. And my co-host, Ian Riccoboni, who does the Women of Honor matches on for Ring of Honor, he does a great job. He's the host. I'm the guy that's just hanging out with them. So it's just one of those things that, you know, we have so much to talk about. You know, we might. That's a good idea. I'm going to text him after we're done, and I'm gonna say, like, hey, man, you want to go to 2 weeks?
That's what I'm saying. If you guys can't find a half hour twice a week to talk about your team, come on.
We're going to do it. All because of you, Fritzy. And we're going to talk up, too. And I'm gonna think about that every time.
Feel free to drop my name in there, you know, and drop my name with Ring of Honor when it comes to some of those ideas about the headgear.
Headgear is a thing.
That is a thing.
And Vince McMahon. And does anybody have Vince's email? Tweet it.
Vince McMahon at WWE.com, I believe.
Is it really? Oh, why doesn't he ever write me back?
And he doesn't write me back either, so join the party. Everybody can follow you on Twitter. It's at King Carino. And
at King Carino, yep.
And everybody can go to worldofcarino.com to follow your blog, and they could definitely find out more information about Carolina Wrestling Academy there if they want to sign up, be a part of it, see everything that's going on with you. And, of course, everybody can keep up with all the latest of Ring of Honor. Just go to ROHWrestling.com, including coming up on February 26th, the 14th anniversary pay-per-view live from Las Vegas, which everybody should definitely get. So, Steve, I always appreciate the time. I'm glad that you're doing well. Good news about the neck surgery, and I'm glad that's coming around and you're going to be able to continue your career. And it's exciting news, man. I'm really happy for you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you!
Have a nice day!